Well, good morning, First Baptist Church, and those who are here visiting, we are glad you are here. And you've joined us. We come with hearts of anticipation. We gather because we believe that as we gather, God inhabits the praise of his people. Inhabits. He lives in the praise of his people. He somehow fills it up and draws our hearts into worship. Isn't that what we heard last week? God calls his church into worship. And we gather with anticipation because we believe that God will speak from his word. So that is our true desire. I am so grateful for those who have led us in the service this morning. What a wonderful thing to worship and hear the choir that we lift joyful songs of praise to his name. And what a wonderful challenge that if we are honest, there is mercy on the other side. What a great leading us in worship. I want to invite you. I just want to make two announcements from our bulletin. If you have your bulletins, you can just look on the left-hand side of the page. Two things I want to draw out. You can read the bulletin. There's lots of things going on. I'll let you read it. But I wanted to draw attention to the next two Sundays. This Sunday following the morning service, we will have a congregational meeting. There's a light lunch that will be provided. But we want to discuss the direction of the church and how God might lead us. And we want to invite you to be a part of it. There will be an opportunity to ask questions and to respond. So we want to invite you and engage you as the congregation. And then secondly, what is truly on my heart is next Sunday, it is a call to prayer for the whole church. And you might feel, well, yeah, I pray at home, and that's great, or I go to Bible or prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I do as well. But I would like to call you to this once a month prayer time. We're going to try it on Sundays after the morning service. But I want to invite the whole church to gather as we pray and we seek God's face and we ask for his work amongst us. So that will be next Sunday on October 29th at 1 p.m. And again, we'll have a light lunch. You may still have to go home and have more snacks, which is what I would do anyways. We can always go home and fill up, but we want to be together and share that time. I want to invite you to take our prayer card. You see it on the screen. Maybe you have it in your Bibles, and it reminds you. And you can see on the side with the picture of the city of Calgary that this is our mission prayer card. This is what we are praying for. This is the mission that Jesus gave his disciples and he gives to us. One day, I am praying that as I walk the halls of this church or I meet you in the Underwood room, that anyone who is a part of our church family, I can stop you and I can say, hey, what is the mission of our church? And you won't need to pull out your card. You'll say, our mission that Jesus gave us is to make disciples of all nations, all cultures, and all peoples, followers of Jesus. And then I will ask you, and what is our foundation? That's easy, Pastor. Our foundation is we are devoted to God's word and prayer, and that we would be a church that is known for a heartbeat and a passion for prayer and a commitment to God's word, that God will speak. And then, even before I get a chance to ask you the next question, you will know it's coming. You will say, and we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what motivates us. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. And then I will ask, and what type of disciple? What would a disciple look like? And you will grab your card and flip it over, and you will say, I got this. Disciples who worship. You see what's happening here? We are looking at God's word, and God is directing us in what it is that we are about as a church. And through the week, you're going to turn on your phone and see that there's no Wi-Fi, and you're going to have to connect to your Wi-Fi, and you'll remember, oh yes, this is our reminder, our somehow an icon of, yes, this is what we are broadcasting. This is our message. Disciples who worship God. And as you turn and you see these five characteristics, these are the messages we are preaching over these weeks. It's a simple memory device, but my prayer is that it is a reality in our hearts. God's kindness to us last Sunday, my own heart included, calls us and draws us in to be disciples who worship. Not just attending church. Although that is wonderful, we're going to talk about that today, being connected, but But as God draws your heart and mind into worship, it is authentic worship. That when we pray, we are actually talking to God. That when we sing, we worship a joyful song of praise. That when we share with one another, our hearts are engaged in earnest worship and praise of God. Now, we know this is God's will because these are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. This is where we find our center as a church. The source is Christ. That when you worship God from your inner being, you are secure in who you are as a person. He is God. And we are not. We trust Him. We depend on Him. We love Him. And out of that, we are free to love one another. Do you see what begins to happen to the church? This is what God would do among us. And so we trust Him. We pray that He will do it. And this morning, we come to the second characteristic of a true disciple. It is disciples who connect. It's how we are awoken spiritually in my own life, and then it begins to affect others. My wife used to say to our kids, Leona would say, you know, when you jump in the pool, if you do it right, everybody else gets splashed. And as we jump into the deep end, as we grow with God, people around us will be affected. That's why these are connected. That as we worship God, it will begin to impact others. And that's what we want to look at this morning. This spiritual awakening that happens in my soul will affect others. As I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I will love my neighbor. To know God will always affect and be a renewal in our relationship with others in the church. When we worship God, we will love Him and love others. Do you see why I'm taking so much time here? None of these are just separate little things. It's not just, oh, I got that, I got worship sorted, now I can move on to connect. Although that is true, they are connected. When you do not worship God, when He is not the Lord of your life, we will not love each other. The book of James in chapter 4 asks this question fearlessly. If you know this passage, you know what's coming. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Has our church had a history of conflict? What is the source? And then James goes on and he answers his own question and he says it fearlessly. Is it not your passions, your own passions? Is it not your own desires that wage war among you? You ask. And you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you can spend it on your own pleasures. And then he says this indictment that is the most amazing. Friendship with the world is not friendship with God. You see how it's so connected. It is this simple, powerful thing like the song we heard. If we are honest, we know our need for God. And there is mercy on the other side. If we worship and love God, we will have friendship with God and we will desire what He wants. This morning we're talking about fellowship, and it could truly be explained as spiritual friendship. Remember the words of Jesus in John 15? Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his life for his friends. And then what does Jesus say? You are my friends if you do what I command. You see, if we have friendship with Christ, we will desire what He desires. If it's what God wants for us, the source of quarrels and conflicts among us will be transformed. That as we worship God, it will transform our relationships with each other. This morning, I want to call you and my own heart into discipleship as we grow. This is where we are going. We begin with worship. And then we connect to the body. And the very next reality is that we will grow in the body. So we need God's help. And I want to invite you to pray with me as we look to this great idea, this great teaching on fellowship and connecting with each other. Would you pray with me? Father, it is true. I know it in my own life that when I seek only to be understood, I will not try to understand. That when my own desires and my own agenda and my own will is at the forefront, I don't have the grace to listen. But God, as I worship you and as I submit and I come to this place, that I desire what you want. And the reality is it transforms my relationship with others. God, would you do this in us? I pray that even as we look at this idea, that you will continue the work that you've begun in First Baptist Church. We know the words of Philippians, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You are still working, and Father, would you continue it? You call us into authentic worship, and so we pray and we put our lives at your feet, and our hearts and our minds are lifted in praise. And where we don't have the right words, we just say, we love you, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to love each other. Lord, please do this in me. Do this in us. Help us be these disciples. Accomplish your mission in us as your church. For your glory, in the strong name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're looking at two verses this morning, and because we are trying to understand the concept of fellowship or being connected in the body, we will look at a number of verses this morning, but I want to begin here. Look at Hebrews 10. Many of you know these verses, but what a powerful statement. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. I remember these verses as a kid, especially verse 25. Some of you are with me. If you grew up in the church, it meant that we were never allowed to miss anything that happened at the church. My parents, I learned it in the King James Version. You know this with me. Do not forsake the assembly. That was the message. My parents were very committed. So every single time the church doors were open, I was at church. Every single time. Do not forsake the assembly. But as I read these verses again this week, I see this wonderful reason that the writer of the Hebrews is giving us. The reason that we should not forsake the assembly. The reason that you should be a disciple and I should be a disciple that is connected to the body is that we are called into a growing relationship with God. Yes, but I believe it's God's will that you are called into a growing relationship in the church. This is God's plan. In fact, look at verse 19, if you see it just here in the context in Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. You know what he's describing here? It is a picture of the Old Testament temple and the Holy of Holies, the curtain that only the high priest could go once a year, and the place where God dwells among his people. And we can enter the holy place with the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 20. By a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, this is the picture. That we are drawn into the most holy place, into a relationship with God. Verse 22, since we have this great high priest, since this living way, only Jesus can open a way. Do you see what it says? He opened a way for us. Only God can do this. Since he has done that, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our confession and our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That is all what God has done for us through Jesus. And because of that, because we are drawn into this intimate relationship with God, we come to our verses. And let us consider how to stir one another on to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some. You see, our relationship with God must affect our relationship with one another. In fact, there's two main ideas in this sermon. The very first one is simply that. Our relationship with God connects us necessarily to each other. You can see it right here in these verses. Probably one of the clearest passages that talks about fellowship and our relationship with God that affects our relationship with each other is 1 John. I would invite you to turn there. It's one of the little Johns. It's the very near the end of the book of the New Testament. There's Revelation. And if you're backing up, if you're in the concordance, you've gone too far. There's Revelation and then Jude and the little Johns. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Turn there. Read these verses with me in 1 John chapter 1. Here is the Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John. Now near the end of his life, it is believed that he was likely the last living apostle on the island of Patmos. And he gives this testimony as the final eyewitness testimony of all the apostles. And John says, that which was from the beginning. Sounds a lot like the Gospel of John, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word in him was life. Look exactly what John does. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. An eyewitness account. The life was made manifest. The Word became flesh. And we have seen it and testified. Just in case you didn't hear the eyewitness account in verse 1, we have seen it, he says again in verse 2. And testify, proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father, was made manifest to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. See, he is so clearly declaring this. We proclaim to you, and here's his reason in verse 3. Why? So that you too may have fellowship with us. This is the first idea that we see about disciples who connect and fellowship. Our relationship with God connects us necessarily to each other. We proclaim this to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. Continue, verse 3. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. How exactly could the Apostle John's joy be complete? Because as he has a relationship with God, he declares this hope so that you and I would all have a relationship with each other. Verse 5, this is the message that we heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do you expect it to say next? We will have fellowship with him. As we walk in the light, as we walk with him, we will have fellowship with him. But what does it say? We will have fellowship with one another. There are people that say, I don't need the church. I'm just going to do church at home. Just me and Jesus. I don't like that church anyway. And those people, you know, the church is full of hypocrites. We've got all kinds of reasons. You need the church. This was God's plan from the very beginning. This is what John in his final testimony is saying, is that as you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, that the ultimate end is you would have fellowship with one another. If we are going to make disciples, We want disciples that will truly worship God. And as we worship God, we want disciples that will be connected to each other. Our relationship with God connects us to each other. You know, this word fellowship is the word that many of us know. It's koinonia. It just means common. It's from the word koinos. It means what we have in common. What do you suppose we have in common in 1 John? Our Father. Our loving Heavenly Father. We are His children. If you are a child of God, we have in common, we fellowship with our Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. How dare we not fellowship with the family? And you might say, well, I've been hurt by the church. Welcome to the family. That's what families do. We are still in process and we need forgiveness. We need to grow together. This is God's kindness to us, to put us into a place where when we wrong a brother or a sister, we don't say, you know what, I'm not going to that church anymore. Quarrels and divisions among us. You know, my desires are this. No, in a family, we come under our Father. And we fellowship and we go to one another. You know what is amazing in these verses in 1 John? What else do we have in common? Do you see it? Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one another. And here it is, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sins. You know what we have in common? We share a common need for forgiveness. I may say things that are selfish and hurt you. And I pray that as I do, I will be a humble pastor that will come to you and say, will you forgive me? That as the Holy Spirit convicts me, I pray that we can be this kind of church. Our common need is for forgiveness. And our common experience is God's grace. He does forgive us. This is what we have in common in Jesus. That we are forgiven. That we don't walk alone in this world. Ephesians says that they are without God and without hope in this world. We have hope of His grace. God is still working in all of our hearts. Think about the closest relationship you have on earth. If you are single, it is close friends. It's probably family. It's people that know you with all your foibles and with all your problems, with all your sins. They know you and they still love you. Oh, you sometimes have sparks. But those who know you and love you can speak the truth. And there is this intimacy of a relationship. If you are married, you know it in your spouse. There's a book in my library, a marriage book. It says, When Two Sinners Marry. Amazing, isn't it? I have another book in my office called Sacred Marriage. You know what the subtitle is? What if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? What a wonderful idea. What a wonderful idea for us as children of the same Father. What if God's purpose for the church is to make us holy, not just happy? Well, I'm not happy with this in the church. Maybe God wants you to grow. Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Maybe God designed the church to be a place where there are real, sinful, broken people still trying to walk with God. Maybe it's a place where you can come and you can be imperfect, along with the rest of us who are imperfect, but together we are growing in Christ-likeness. I think that's God's purpose. When people say, I don't need the church, I say, I think you don't understand God's whole plan. True disciples worship God and they are connected. I believe every single Christian is called by God into a growing relationship with a local church family. If you are a part of the body of Christ, then you cannot say, I don't need the church. It's all over the New Testament. And the reason I chose the word connect instead of fellowship is the same idea is in a lot of passages in the New Testament that don't just say fellowship, don't just say what we have in common. Though that is the main idea, we see it in the body passages, in Romans and Ephesians and Colossians. I want you to turn to Corinthians. I want you to simply turn to Corinthians chapter 12 and read these few verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, it says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. It's not your opinion that determines whether you are part of the body. It's not, if you say, I'm not a part of the body, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? What is that? That's a self-condemning attitude. It's a self-removal from the body. If you've been offended in a church and you've pulled yourself out of the body, I believe that that is a wrong thing to do. You are saying, I don't belong to the body. And here the emphasis is on a comparison between people. But it's a self-disqualifying, self-condemning. You can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because it tells us in verse 18, because God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose, not as you choose. Look at verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What is that? That is when somebody else looks at you and somebody else judges you. Someone else disqualifies you and condemns you. You can't say that. Why? You know the answer. Verse 18. Because God has placed you in the body as he chose. You cannot say, I don't need the church. Because this is God's plan from the very beginning. 3,000 were added to their number in one day. And God added daily those who were being saved. Who added? God did. If you are a Christian, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with God, connects you to the body. Do not forsake the assembly. It's not just church attendance. There's something wonderful in God's design. So if you cannot say to another person, I don't need you, what are we supposed to say? I need you. I need you in the body. You are a part of the body. And if you can't say to yourself, I'm not a part of the body, what should you say to yourself? I am a part of this body. And at the end of this sermon, I pray that you are this kind of disciple who says, I'm a part of the body of Christ. I worship God authentically and truly. That's the kind of disciple I am. You know what other kind of disciple I am? I'm connected to the body because that is God's design from the very beginning. It is fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with each other. It is connection to the body. This is the second step. We are connected to the body. The Bible uses other illustrations. It talks about a family. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children in Ephesians 5. And walk in love. By this will all men know that you are my, what, disciples? If you have love for one another. You see, it's all about what kind of disciples we will be. 1 Peter talks about being built into a spiritual house, and I absolutely love this verse. In 1 Peter 2, verse 3, it says, if you tasted the kindness of the Lord. Wow. If you tasted the kindness of the Lord and coming to him, to the living stone that is rejected by men but is precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Do you see what's happening here? It is the kindness of God that says, if you are honest, there is mercy on the other side. If we are authentic, if we can walk together as broken people, that God is going to do this process of building us together into this spiritual house. He is the living stone, and we are being built into it. Our relationship with God connects us to each other. 1 John 2:19 says, if they went out from us, they are proving that they were never really of us. That's how important it is to God. That if you come to faith and you experience the kindness of God, God's design is that you are a part of his body. Church is not optional. It is God's design. Jesus said, I will build my church. And you might say, okay, Norm, I get it. I'm a part of God's people. But why should I not forsake the assembly? Why are you bringing it so heavy to bear on us? Because of the second idea. The first idea is that our relationship with God connects us to our relationship with each other. The second idea is simply our relationship with each other connects us in a greater way in our relationship with God. See, that's God's design. It's his kind and his thoughtful design. You were never intended as a Christian to go it alone. You need a sister to come beside you and put her arm around you, and a brother to come and punch you in the shoulder and say, I'm worried about you. I'm praying for you. This is God's plan. That as we have relationship with each other, it strengthens and grows our relationship with God. That we will love God more. That we will do great things and will do good works for God as we are challenged by the body. That we will be encouraged in the body. And you say, Norm, how do you know this? Let me take you back to Hebrews 10. What does it say in Hebrews 10? Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as the day approaches. You see, it's not just church attendance, but it's church engagement. That we are involved in each other's lives. That our relationship with each other will strengthen our relationship with God. Now, you expect that clearly from your pastor. You expect it from the church leaders. Oh, yeah, that's their job. The Apostle Paul says, my loving children, my dear children, with whom I'm again in labor until Christ is formed in you. But I believe this is God's desire for every single Christian. Till we all grow up in him. What every joint supplies. I'm going to share a little bit about that at lunch. But it's not just these verses in Hebrews 10 that we encourage each other to love and good deeds and build each other up. It's throughout the entire New Testament. In Philippians 2, just listen to these verses. You know these verses. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation in love, and let me tell you, I am so often encouraged in Christ. I find comfort that he loves me even as I am. If there's any fellowship of the Spirit, wow. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Wow. My encouragement in Christ is intended to somehow encourage and influence your mind that we would be one mind together. And this is not just for pastors. Paul is speaking to the whole church in Philippi that as you find encouragement in Christ, would you please come to your pastor? Would you please say, let's be of the same mind, pastor. We are facing difficulties, and those days are ahead, I'm sure. But we have encouragement in Christ. Be of the same mind. Maintaining the same love. See, there's consolation and love in God, and then we maintain that love together in the body. Intent on one purpose. Why? Because we're unified. Unified in spirit. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit. Sounds a lot like James 4, doesn't it? Quarrels and division among you because it's your own desires. No. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see how our relationship with each other strengthens our relationship with God. That this is God's intention. And for the poor individual who says, I don't need the church, the impact on their own spiritual growth is obvious. It's all over the New Testament, and I wish I had time to preach it all. Think about the one another's of the Bible. These are commands. This is what the Bible commands us to do. Love one another. Forgive one another. What's amazing about that command? It presupposes that there's going to be a need to forgive each other. It's pretty honest. It's pretty real that we struggle. And you will have to forgive me. And I will have to forgive you. Serve one another. Teach one another. Do you see what's happening? Our relationship with each other is strengthening the church. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Christ wants. He wants us to bear one another. Isn't it wonderful? Submit to one another. Okay, that's a hard one. But you know what that verse says? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Care for one another. Pray for one another. Have you ever thought about this simple fact? All of these commands in the Bible are dependent on you being a part of the body. If for no other reason, you cannot go it alone because you are disobedient to every single one of these commands. If you say, it's me and Starbucks and we got our own little Starbucks church, I don't need the church. Somewhat obvious, you can't serve one another if you are all alone and you think you're the only one who has everything right. If a church is never good enough, it is a blatant contradiction of Scripture and a contradiction of God's plan. And I would say, as your pastor, it is sin. To the one who knows what is right and he doesn't do it, it is sin. God is calling us as a church to be these kind of disciples. We don't just attend a service. No, we connect. We're in part of each other's lives so that we can love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, teach one another, bear one another's burdens, submit to one another, care for one another, and pray for one another. You know why? Because we need to pray for each other. We are still a work in progress. It's the same thing if you say, I don't need the church and I'm leaving. Those days are over. With all my heart, I pray that those days are over for First Baptist Church. I pray that when conflicts and quarrels arise, that in God's mercy, I can take you to Ephesians 4, where it says, let no corruptive talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So instead of corruptive talk that tears down, it builds up. In verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you see what he's saying? By which you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, James tells us the anger of man does not accomplish the will of God. And clamor and slander, let it all be put away from among you, along with all malice. You know what malice is? Malice is when we increase the offense greater than it actually was in our own minds. Somebody hurts us and offends us in the church, and so we stir it up. We make it a greater offense than it actually was, so that we can justify our own position, so that we can justify our bitterness and our wrath and our anger and our clamor and our slander. And when this happens in the church, my prayer is that as your pastor, I will come to these verses and I will read verse 32. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. You know what the very next phrase is? Forgiving one another. That's how kindness and how tender-heartedness is expressed. Forgiveness means there's a real offense. Otherwise, it's not forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiving one another, other tenderness, means that we actually forgive one another. And listen to this verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ Jesus forgives you. See, it's inseparable. As we experience this from God, it will be expressed in our body. We see this all the way through the life of the church when we practice communion. Our relationship with God connects us to each other, this table. We know forgiveness. We understand our need, what is common. And as we have been forgiven, we offer forgiveness to each other. We know it in baptism. We've died to ourselves and our own pleasures, our own desires, our own demands of others in the church. We died to those things, and we've been raised to newness of life. In baby dedication, we are praying that God will raise up our children in this church to walk with him, to be godly women and godly men. And we're in this together. As we accept new members, we are declaring our faith as a body in Christ. It's exactly the verses in the book of Acts, and with this I will close. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. They're part of the body. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and signs and wonders were being done by the apostles, and all who believed were together. And they had all things in common. In fellowship, in koinonia. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to each according to their need. And day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, it's inseparably connected to worshiping God. These are the disciples that we are asking God to make of us And guess what's next on the list? Disciples who grow. So as you worship God, as you realize that our relationship with God connects us in our relationship to each other, and our relationship to each other helps us grow in our relationship with God and worship, that God's design is for all of us to grow, and then to serve, and then to multiply. That others would know this great love of God. This is what I pray for First Baptist Church. Will you join me? Father, thank you for the time we had this morning. Even Pastor Jim's jumping into praise at the beginning and the time it gives us. I believe this is your will for our church. And though in some ways it can be a hard message, it's also a wonderful message. God, we need your grace. We need your continual work. We do worship you. We do love you, but help it to grow. We are connected. We have friends here. We need each other. But where we hold off, Father, would you engage us? Would you help us to step into each other's lives, to take risks and be vulnerable and honest? And if we are honest, there's mercy on the other side. God, I pray that you will build your church and that we will be your people. Father, accomplish this in us over these days and complete the work that you began until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we pray in his name. Amen.